Episode 29. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You're listening to Comedy Forecast. Comedy in 4 minutes or less.
I just got back from taking my wife and son to see Paul McCartney in Boston. Do yourself a favor. If you have a chance to see Sir Paul during this tour, take that opportunity and go. At the beginning of the evening, I was a little concerned about the couple seated behind us. Let's call them Rupert and Martha. They seemed as interested in making runs down to the concession stand for beer as they were about watching the show. Still, all went well for the first dozen or so songs.
Phase two.
There are times in a concert when the musician plays songs unfamiliar to many of the people in the audience. Some people view this as a good chance to take a bathroom break or such. You know, it's like the slow point in a movie when you suddenly think to yourself, hey, I'm hungry for some overpriced Twizzlers. Unfortunately, Rupert and Martha decided to take a different route. They figured this would be a great time to chat, rather loudly, with their friends seated next to them. At first, I thought I was being a bit oversensitive to the noise, you know, as I was actually trying to hear Paul. Then I noticed that people around me were doing that turn their heads and give a stern look maneuver. Not all at once. One there, and then there were two over there. Heck, some even gave the partial turn, followed by a full torso twist. But I knew this stare tactic wouldn't work. It was too subtle. People like Rupert and Martha don't do subtle. After a few minutes, I turned to them and said, please, could you keep it down a bit? To my surprise, it worked. Did I startle them? Amaze them with my brilliant use of easy-to-understand words? I didn't care. Things were quiet. Until phase three.
Phase three.
It was at this point that Rupert demonstrated his ability to produce the loudest fingers-in-the-mouth whistle I have ever heard. I mean loud, as it slices through your eardrums, vaporizes every bone in your inner ear, and exits directly through your eyeballs. Now, this is where the dilemma begins. What do you say to the person who is whistling? A whistle at a concert here in the U.S. is a sign of approval. I couldn't bring myself to ask him to stop. It would be an editorial comment on my part. Hey, your brain-melting whistle is annoying, but my clapping and yelling is okay.
Phase four.
After Rupert and Martha had downed several more beers, Martha began singing along with Paul, quite loudly. It was as if she had come to the conclusion that she was the sixth member of the band and just happened to be sitting all the way across the venue in the balcony. Now, there were several small problems with this revelation. First, although she had volume, sadly, she had no singing ability whatsoever. Second, she was only familiar with a few of the songs in Paul's show, and, even in those cases, had only a cursory knowledge of the words. Now, I may be wrong, but I don't believe there is any reference to a Father McHenry in Eleanor Rigby, nor does the lyric "Take the Sunken Ice and Leave to Sea" appear in Blackbird. This was the other half of the dilemma. People like to sing at concerts. Most sing occasionally and at a reasonable level, but that's somewhat subjective. How could I ask Martha to stop? When Paul began singing Hey Jude, I knew all was lost, because Paul encourages the audience to sing along. Was I going to ask Martha to stop while her band leader, Paul, was instructing her otherwise?
Resolution.
Fortunately, Rupert, Martha, and their friends were also the type of people who need to leave before the encores in hopes of beating the traffic jam. Why, it makes sense. You most definitely want to skip as much of the show as possible so you can save time getting home from the concert you went to see. Hey, if it works for Rupert and Martha, it works for me. Because for all six songs of the two encores, my dilemma was solved.
That's it. We're done. Bye-bye.